I know I've talked to Glenn Lungarini about this on the show in past years, but this week has been pretty awful when you look at youth football players. There were two instances in the U.S., again, not here in Connecticut, but in the U.S., where two football players died after severe head injuries. The most recent was a 13-year-old middle school football player, Cohen Craddock, who died from a head injury sustained during practice. Again, it's the second tragedy just this week, and it follows a story about this was a junior, a quarterback, and his name is Caden. He died last Saturday in Alabama, suffering a head injury during the third quarter of his team's opening night win. And so this is something that I know football, you know, even at the NFL level, they've been very focused on head injuries and combating the issue. And as I mentioned, we've definitely talked to Glenn Lungarini about what we're trying to do to avoid that issue as well here in Connecticut. He joins us now with the CIAC for more. Glenn, thank you so much for getting up early and talking about this story. I really appreciate it.
Yes, good morning, Melissa. Always great to talk to you and your listeners.
So, Glenn, would you say that from, you know, peewee football, the early days of football, all the way up to even the professional level NFL, the topic of head injuries, that's really been pretty prevalent, I would say, across the board in recent years, correct?
Yeah, it's been a topic of discussion for quite some time now. And, you know, obviously, as medical treatment and evaluations have increased, and we've learned more about even CTE and, you know, not the immediate catastrophic deaths, but the long lasting impacts of head trauma has really over the years has changed the way that we go about teaching skills and how we try to educate people on head injury, concussions, and knowing signs, symptoms, and how to seek care.
How has the CIAC responded in trying to avoid this issue, especially for contact sports? I mean, like football, you know, these young athletes in trying to protect them better?
You know, the state of Connecticut has really been out in front of this for quite some time. We can go back well over a decade now from when we have legislation put in place to inform student athletes and their parents about the signs and symptoms of concussions. We also do that for cardiac arrest and heat stroke. So it's part of our preseason meetings and information that is delivered that parents and student athletes need to sign off on to educate them on those things. Our State Medical Society Sports Med Committee has been integral over this period of time in collecting data to look at how these strategies that we've put in place have helped reduce this. Big changes from that, again, over the last decade or so, have been putting a plan in place of when we have contact during football season, how much contact we can have in a week, reducing that time over the course of the season to zero contact in the last few weeks of the season beside the games themselves to limit exposure to head injuries. And we continue to review the science of this and these protocols and teaching tackling methods and ways to avoid leading with the head or contacting with the head, but using the shoulders and the upper body for tackling technique.
So actually, Glenn, you just answered my next question, which again, Glenn is here with the CIAC. And we are talking about head injuries, trying to avoid them, especially for football players. And my question was going to be, do you believe these head injuries happen because the helmets are not protective enough, the padding is not protective enough, or do you think it is, you know, as simple as improper tackling, for example?
You know, I think, again, when you're playing a contact sport, there can be a variety of reasons and things that lead up to this. The equipment within football, I think, is safer than it's ever been. I know for our athletes and our high school athletes, the football helmets that they use are required to be reconditioned every year by the manufacturer who provided them, and they receive a stamp or certificate of approval that that helmet is safe to continue to use. Those helmets are fitted to the athletes, At CIAC, we have tried to help schools that need assistance with that as well. A couple schools in Bridgeport that we have provided funds to purchase new helmets over the last couple years. So, you know, we're confident that here in Connecticut, the equipment that our kids are putting on to play the game is safe, is fitted to the student, and gives the best opportunity to protect that kid during practice and play.
Do we use guardian caps, which I've heard of them sort of off the cuff before. I believe even the NFL has said that they would be really helpful, especially for youth athletes. But I know after this middle school death this week, that was something that the school district, you know, there where he lives, they mm-hmm. were looking into that. But is that something we use here in Connecticut?
We don't prohibit it, but they're not widely used. We do have a few student athletes who choose to wear it. Depending on the manufacturer that you have with the helmet and who's manufacturing the guardian cap, you can't cross over one manufacturer to another, otherwise avoids the warranty on the helmet. So, you know, it depends on the comfort level of the student athlete. Like any other piece of equipment, if you're not wearing that properly, it's not fitted properly, not only may not provide the protection, but it, you know, may give a kid, you know, a sense of additional safety that perhaps they don't have that could lead to other injury. So we allow them. We have had student athletes that have worn them in the past in competition here in Connecticut, but we don't require them because of the specifics around the fitting of that and matching with the manufacturer.
I was trying to think, Glenn, if we've had any recent incidents. And the only one I could think of was the one in Windsor, I believe it was last year, but that was a medical issue, right? That wasn't a head-to-head contact injury. I believe, was the boy's name Eli, I believe, if I can remember correctly?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Elijah. Yeah, that was a pre-existing cardiac condition.
Okay.
With the student athlete. We've had several cardiac issues over the past couple of years, and one in football, one in a couple in basketball with the same student athlete. We've been, again, fortunate. Emergency response plans have been in place. We're practiced. Those plans were put into effect immediately. Same thing in Windsor. You know, they had a plan. That plan went into place immediately, unfortunately. In that case, did not have a positive outcome, but in Woodstock and in South Windsor, those plans did help save a kid's life in both of those cases.
Wow. Well, Glenn Lungarini, I want to thank you so much again, who is the executive director for the CIAC Connecticut. And I want to thank you so much for what you do and also for coming on to give us this insight. I think it's so important that we know how much Connecticut is on top of this, even though you sometimes see in the national news sector that these types of tragedies are happening. I know families worry going into the fall season. So thank you for that.
Much appreciated, Melissa, and thank you for always giving us an opportunity to talk to your listeners. I appreciate that.
Of course, absolutely. And again, Glenn Lungarini is the executive director of the CIAC. And again, that is, you know, certainly connected to the public schools all across Connecticut. And we so appreciate that he's able to come on the show and talk to us about these types of situations, because I know as soon as we heard about this second tragedy again this week, we did have a few parents reach out to us here at WICC. So we appreciate him coming on the show immediately as we head into this new school year.